Good morning, friends, and welcome to our second session on Abounding in Favor. You know, I've received some comments this week saying I've never really heard favor taught much, so that's good. I think that this is a chance for us to grow together, and I just look forward to what the Lord's going to show us today and also in the coming weeks. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your love from which your favor toward us flows. We thank you that as you have made us righteous, you've enabled us to walk in that favor. So today we open our hearts to you to receive more of what you have for us in your word concerning favor. Father, we want to walk in the fullness of the blessing, and I believe the way we do that is to walk in your favor more knowingly. So we just give you praise and glory and honor for what you're about to do today. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask, and everybody said, Amen. Last week, we just kind of set a foundation for the favor of God, and we looked at Psalm 5, verse 12, which talks about that his favor compasses, I think the King James says, us about or surrounds us. We saw in the Amplified that he blesses the righteous, of which we've been made, and as with a shield, it says you surround him. Now, it uses a different word. It says goodwill, and then it also says pleasure and favor. So we begin building a repertoire of what descriptors can be used to describe favor. So here we have goodwill and pleasure. English Standard says, for you bless the righteous, you cover them with favor as with a shield. And so we see the word cover, also another descriptor that we see. And that really reminds me of the cloud that was with the children of Israel. And we're going to be talking about them today. So the attributes of favor that we looked at last week, goodwill, pleasure, kindness, joy, love, and also that word means delight. In fact, that's what the Hebrew word literally means for favor. We looked at Proverbs 3, the first 10 verses, and there in verse 4, right in the midst of all the instructions to us, it says this, and I'm going to read it from the Passion. That's how you will find favor. And so he's talking principally here about the word. That's how you will find favor and understanding. And then it says, with both God and man. So we see that the favor of God comes to us, but he also moves on man to show us favor as well. But the last part of that verse is what I want to really stress today. It says, you will gain, in doing this, you're going to gain the reputation of living life well. How important that is. And I want you to remember that we read this morning because you're going to see it a little later on. Psalms 41 verse 11, also from the Amplified Bible, says this, by this I know you favor and delight in me because my enemy does not triumph over me. Praise God. We are overcomers. And that's Psalm 41 verse 11. We saw this exemplified in Joseph's life. In Genesis 37, the word says that Joseph had, through a dream, got a word from the Lord. And in doing so, he did not let go of it. Reminded us of Caleb a bit as we thought about it. The brothers didn't like it. His father and mother didn't like it. But he held on to it. And then we saw and looked at three situations in which opportunities for the blessing came upon him. In Genesis 39, 1 through 6, it talked about how each time, it said this time, and this was true each time, that the Lord was with him, and what else was with him? So was his favor. The Lord caused man to have favor with him just as he favored. We saw that the definition of favor, it says friendly regard shown toward one another, especially by a superior, proving consideration or attention, partiality was one, gracious kindness and favors were another. We looked at how these opportunities to encounter the blessing through favor come to us. They're granted to us. They're gifts of given. We get preferential treatment, and we're given an advantage. We saw that in the children of Israel. It said that they conquered not by anything that they did, but it says this, and I want to read it. It says, by your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance. Now, I want you to remember, that's what did it. Those three things, the light of your countenance did it. Why? Because you were favored and did delight in them. Psalm 102 tells us now is that set time of favor. Talking about us, it's talking about Zion, but what do we see? Prophetically, Zion is talking about the kingdom of God today, and that's you and I. So as we transition today from looking at last week to what we're going to study and what the Lord has for us today, I want to do what we talked about in the last session of our previous series. I want us to use our voice and set the direction for the rest of this study. So repeat after me, if you will, and this is in your notes for those who have it, and those you don't, you know that you can request it. It says, the favor, and so I'm going to read this, and then I want you to repeat it. The favor of God is on me. The favor of God surrounds me. The favor of God covers me like a canopy. I have access to the throne of divine favor. And in my time of need, His favor is upon me. And that's the title of what we're going to look at today. So turn, you're in your Bibles, go ahead and turn toward Exodus 2. And let me kind of introduce this session, His favor is upon me. Today, I want you to think about, as we start, how many people you hear that say just the opposite from the things we kind of declared. How about this? Nothing good ever happens to me. I just can't seem to get a break. No matter what I do, things just don't go my way. Or he said, people would say sometimes, the only thing that ever finds me is trouble. Some will say, good things always seem to happen, and they may name your name or someone else's name, but not to me. And finally, I just wish an opportunity could once come my way. Well, what are these people doing? Just the opposite of what we did. They're setting the course of their, or the direction of their life by their words, and they are not believing it at all. And I'm not talking about just people who aren't saved, even church people. We hear these kind of things from. So we don't want to be that people. And I think we're going to show you today that His favor is upon you. In Exodus, the second chapter, we're going to look at verse 23. And 23 through the end of the chapter, it says, now in the course of those many days, the king of Egypt died, talking about the king who favored Joseph so much. And as things went on, they were enslaved, as you know. And then talking of Israel, it says, they sighed because of their bondage, and they cried out. And I want you to notice, it doesn't say they cried out to the Lord. They just cried out. For many of them, they had lost any knowledge of the Lord. They didn't even know who He was, as evidenced by what Moses said to the Lord. And then he says, and their cry, because they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. Now, how often today do we feel like that we're trying to live the best we can, we're honoring the Lord, and things just don't go our way, and we cry out for help, and we just say, it's like He hadn't heard me. This talks about the children of Israel, whom were not in the same covenant we are, and yet it says He heard them. So we just need to understand, when we cry for help, your voice is heard in heaven. Verse 24, so God heard their groaning, and remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, and He took notice, or His eye was upon him. So say with me, I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. Look over in the third chapter, in the 21st verse. Here's the result of what the Lord said concerning His people whom He heard. He says, and I will grant, there's that word we used about ways that favor comes to us. I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. So He's going to cause men to view them favorably. And it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty handed. But every woman shall ask. Now, King James says borrow, and that's not a good word, because if I borrow something, I'm going to bring it back. But here they were really saying, give to me. When it says ask, shall ask of their neighbor and the woman who lives in her house articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing, and you will put them on your sons and daughters. Thus you will plunder the Egyptian. So what do we begin to see here? God's hand of favor coming upon them. Did it come about just as they thought? It absolutely did. Look at Exodus, the 12th chapter. and the 36th verse, 35 and 36. It says, now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses. We're going to begin to look in a couple of weeks about things we can do to position ourselves, better position ourselves for favor. This is one of them. We must become doers of the word. Just as it says about the children of Israel here. For they had requested from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people what? Favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. So the word of the Lord came saying, we're going to give you favor. I want you to do these things. They did them. And indeed, that favor did come on them, the opportunity to have what? The blessing of the Lord manifest in their life. Now, what happened to the children of Israel? Well, as they wandered around in the desert, sin separated them from God. And in Exodus 33, which go ahead and turn there, that we're going to look at, it really finally just upset the Lord. And he said, it's time to start over. And we're going to pick up in verse 12. Moses has been talking to the Lord in the tent of the meeting where the pillar would come down. The presence was with them again. And that's important with what some things we're about to look at. And so I want you to see, this is where we're going to pick up reading. Now, I know that we've studied this in the account that we did of Give Me My Mountain, that Caleb and talking about Joshua here. I know we've studied it in Covenant and some other things, but I want you to listen to it with a different tone this morning. I want you to listen to it with a heart and an ear, and really an eye if you're looking at your own Bible, toward favor. Let's pick up in verse 12. So Moses has come out of the tent, and he says to the Lord, see, thou dost say to me, bring up this people, but thou thyself hast not let me know who you will send with me. Moreover, so let's slow down here. Moreover, in addition to, you have said, I have known you by name, and you also have found favor in my sight. So the Lord is telling Moses that he has already found favor in his name and that he knows his name. He's found his favor, the favor of the great I am. And the great I am, Jehovah, says, I know your name. Let's continue with verse 13. Moses says, now therefore, I pray thee. And I want you to look back at 12. No, I'm going too fast. I want you to see that Moses is recounting the word of the Lord back to him to remind him of that. Saints, that's important for us to do. That's why it's so important that we pray the word, that we remind the Lord, this is what you said concerning me. This is what you said concerning my body. This is what you said concerning no lack. That when we have these opportunities, we recount to him that you've told us we're walking in favor, and this is what you said. And then in 13, Moses says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found favor in my sight, let me know your ways, not just his acts, but let me know your ways. In other words, I want to be more intimate with you, again, pertaining to us, certainly pertains to us, that I may know thee, so that I might find favor in thy sight. Now, wait a minute. The Lord had already told him he had favor. But what is he saying here? I want to know your ways that I may find favor in your sight. I think he's talking about more favor, progression of favor. And that's that attitude of everywhere I go, favor, more favor is coming upon me. But it doesn't stop there. Look at what he says in the end of verse 13. Consider too that that nation, that this nation is thy people. In other words, these are your people. I don't want you just favoring me. You got to remember these are all your people of just whom I'm a part of. Oh, I just, that's so strong. Don't look to one man and say he's favored, one pastor or one friend. See that same favor and begin to decree it upon yourself. So the Lord says to him in verse 14, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Now, as I meditated that this morning before coming to to record here, I saw the relationship between walking in His favor continually with His presence upon me and rest. That's how I can enter in by faith, knowing that I am in His presence, that He's favoring me in all these things that I'm doing. So then in verse 15, then he said to him, Moses said to the Father, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't lead us up from here. In other words, paraphrased with not so good English, if you ain't going, I ain't moving, and thus the people ain't moving. He knew the value of the presence. He knew the value of the presence of the Lord. And what did we see last week with Joseph? Over and over it said, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord was with him, and. So we begin to see that connection even amplified here. And then verse 16, and I want us to slow down with this one. Moses has just said to him, if you don't go, I'm not going. And then he states, for how can it be known? How can it be known? In other words, how are others going to know? Not just me, but how are others going to know that I have found favor in thy sight? So here we get a first hint that finding favor with the Lord is to be known by others. Now just park that for a moment. And then he says, I, and then he does what? Adds everybody in there, I and thy people. So we can't look at this and say, well, I'm not the best Christian or anything like that, therefore I probably don't have favor. No, these people weren't the best believers at this point in time in the Father. That's what got them in trouble. They wouldn't believe. But yet he says, I and thy people are supposed to find favor. So what? So others will know it. Is it not by thy going with us? So here's the presence again. So that we, I and thy people, can see the continuation of that. You cannot say as a believer, favor just doesn't come to me. That's not what the word is saying, even prophetically of us in the Old Testament. And you have the presence of God in you. Is it not by thy going with us so that we, I and thy people, may be distinguished, may be set apart, may be known as something separate from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth. In other words, he's saying here, your presence and the favor that comes with it is going to cause us to be known throughout the earth. Was it? Well, what did Rahab say? We've heard about you for years. We wondered when you was coming. We knew that there was a special favor upon you and we were in trouble. So look how the Lord responds. Well, no, let me slow down again. Just think about this. This presence is with them, yet the Father tabernacles by His Spirit in you. Never going to leave you. Never going to forsake you. That means what? Favor ought to always be around you. And then in 17, the Lord says to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken. Do you see how Moses' words set the direction and the course, not only for himself, but for whom? For others. Do you think you have the same opportunity to do that over whom, those over whom you have some spiritual authority? Family, possibly? And then it says why? For you have found favor in my sight. And what? I have known you by name. Now, does that resonate with you? Because Jesus said to us, I know you by name. I know my sheep. I call them by their name. I mean, this ought to just jump out at you. Knowing that the Lord knows you by name, that He's there with you, and what else? That His favor has come upon you. Now, I want you to go back to, or go over to the book of Numbers, I guess a progression from where we are here, chapter 6, the Aaronic blessing. Now, many of you whom I know who attend here are well taught and you know the word and you may be tempted to say, oh, that's such a great blessing. I know that one. Set that aside right now. We're talking about favor today. We're going to look at a little different thing. Verse 24. Or really verse 23, we'll pick up there. Aaron is told to speak to, or the Lord speaks to Moses and tells him to tell Aaron and his sons, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them. So the priest are to speak this blessing. Well, if the priest were told to speak it, then should not we as priests today be speaking this over ourselves, over our family? And look what he's saying here in this now. The Lord bless you and keep you. So the Lord make you, empower you to prosper is what bless means, as we saw last week. And then look at this next verse. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Now we're going to come back to this one. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And then I don't ever read these few verses without reading verse 27. So shall they invoke or put on my name, the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. Now, don't be tempted to say, yes, I've read that. Let's go back to verse 25. Verse 25 is very important. It says, the Lord shall make his face to shine upon you. And then it says what? When his face shines upon you, he's going to be gracious to you. Now, the word gracious here is the word in the Hebrew. Its English transliteration is H-A-N-A-N. Kanan or Hanan, and it means gracious, and it means favor. It's translated gracious a little more than favor, but it's translated favor a number of times. So we could actually say, I believe, the Lord make his face shine on you and be favorable towards you. Now, if you want to hear some scriptures that say that, let me read it to you from the Amplified. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and enlighten you and be gracious. And then here's how it amplifies it. Kind, one of our attributes, merciful, another attribute, and giving favor to you. Now, lest you say, well, the Amplified just, does all that. Yes, I know, but I want you to listen closely. And again, it's in your notes for those of you who have them, to the Young's literal translation. Now, I go to this one often. It doesn't read as smoothly as we would like sometimes, but it is the most literal translation that I have found of what the Hebrew is actually saying. This man Young was very literate in both Hebrew and Greek, and he wrote concordances in both. And look at what he says. Jehovah caused his face to shine upon thee and favor thee. He thinks that favor is the best word here. And if you remember back to Psalm 44 last week, where we were talking about favor, in fact, we read it today. It says that the light of his countenance would be upon us with his favor. So here is the same words used about his face shining upon you and his countenance being upon you. And it's associated with what? The favor of the Lord. Do we see this in scripture in other places? Good question. Psalm 67. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2 and 6 and 7. It starts out saying, God be gracious to us. Can I tell you that that word gracious is the same word that we just read in Numbers 6? So you could say, God be favorable to us, or God favor us and bless us. Now, isn't that interesting? We said you can't separate favor and blessing. And so here's both of them in the same line. And then look at the very next line. And cause his face to shine upon us. Oh, that presence, the value of his presence and his countenance being upon you, enlightening you. Why does he want that? Why does he instruct the psalmist, the Holy Spirit, to write this? Look at verse 2. That thy way may be known on the earth. Well, isn't that just exactly what we saw Moses praying earlier? And then it says, thy salvation, and all that that salvation includes, safety, health, preservation, soundness, wholeness, everything. Go down to verse 6. It says, the earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. And then verse 7 repeats it. God blesses us. So what do we know now? Because he's been gracious, we're blessed. And why is that? That all the ends of the earth may fear him. Selah. Let me just say, our life is to be a billboard of the goodness, of the delight, of the pleasure, of the favor, of the whole desire to bless his people. We ought to be a billboard for that. That encourages me. And why? To draw people to himself. So I want to ask you, has God changed? If you say no, then you're going to say this is applicable to me as well, and that God wants me favored and blessed with his face shining upon me so that others will see his goodness through my life. Do you remember in our review from last week? I'm just going to go back and read it. The Passion Translation said, that's how you'll find favor with both God and man, and you will gain the reputation of living life well. Over and over, we're seeing this. One more? Okay, go to Psalm 23. And this is not a funeral passage. This is good news. This is gospel. I'm going to read all of it, but we'll just talk about four verses as we go through it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not have any lack, any need that he doesn't see and desires to meet. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet or still waters. He restores my soul. Now, I want you to listen to that word, because you're about to see the tie-in between restoration and favor. Not in this verse, but in some others. Some future verses we're going to look at. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. So what do we know? We've been made righteous. If ever you should be conscious of that, it's here this week and a half after Resurrection Sunday. You ought to be conscious of the fact that I have been resurrected with Christ Jesus and made righteous just in his righteousness. And look at he says the end of verse 3. He does all this for his name's sake, exactly what we've been seeing. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Well, how can I do that? For thou art with me. There's that presence again. And what do we know? With that presence, we ought to be finding favor. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows, the blessing at work in your life. And then here we get to verse 6. Now, I want you to think about these words that we're about to read. Do they describe attributes of favor? I think you're going to smile and say, absolutely, they do. Surely, goodness and mercy, or we might say loving kindness, or I could use the word covenant love, because that's the word hesed, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, goodness and mercy, or goodness and loving kindness, or goodness and covenant love, favor, in essence, will follow me. Now, follow there, in this word, literally means to pursue or to chase. That's why you'll see a confession I'll share with you at some point in this that BJ and I used to read a lot. And we've pulled it out again as we've begun studying this. And it says that his favor is chasing me down. It's finding me and chasing me down. So let's go to a New Testament scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:19. We'll just go straight into the New Testament and see what it has to say concerning us today. Now, I'm reading this from the Amplified for purpose. What did we just read about restoring my soul? And we know that we're walking in favor in Psalm 23. 2 Corinthians 5:19. It was God personally present in Christ, just as he is with you, as you were raised from the dead with Jesus. Now, look at this. in reconciling, that's the word that's used in most translation, and restoring the world to favor with himself. So reconciling or reconciliation, restoration, and favor go together. Not counting up and holding against them their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us. And the same is true to you and I today. We also have this ministry of reconciliation. Committing to us this message of reconciliation of the restoration of what? Favor. Glory be to God because we've been made righteous. We have been given this message of reconciliation so that we may bring others back into the favor of God. And this is just as was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. Let me give you a couple of examples. In the Psalms, verse 7 and verse 19 say basically the same thing. Listen to this now. Restore us, reconcile us back, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. In other words, what? Favor is coming back upon us. Salvation and all it includes. The Amplified reads it, Restore us again, O God of hosts, and cause your face to shine upon us with favor as of old, and we shall be saved. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah, he prophesies, and he's talking about their time of restoration from Babylon. And listen to what it says. Speaking of for the Lord, he says, They will be carried to Babylon, and they will be there until the day that I visit them with my favor. And look what happens, says the Lord. Then I will bring them back and restore them to my place. So restoration of favor, restoration of that which was lost. But we just see the heart of the Lord to restore it. Now, we're about to close, but I want to go back to Psalm 5, verse 12 real quick. Let me remind you, it said, For thou, O Lord, will bless the righteous. You will favor, with favor thou will compass him about as a shield. Now, in the New American Standard, the God's Word translation, the Amplified, they all use the word surround versus compass about or encompass. The Passion says, cover you under my canopy. The English Standard says cover. But in the Hebrew, this word is atar, A-T-A-R. And it literally means to encircle. And it's for attack or for protection. And that jumped out at me as I was led of the Lord to look that word up. It also means to crown. To what? To put something that is a circle, encircled, upon the head of the king. Might I say that you've been crowned with righteousness? You've been made a king. Listen to Psalm 65, verse 12. It says, You crown the year with your goodness. Now, isn't that a lot of what we were seeing in Psalm 67 earlier, talking about his favor coming upon? In thinking about your redemption in Psalm 103, the fourth verse, says, Who redeems your life from the pit. Now, who else was in a pit that had the presence of God and favor upon him? Joseph, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, more attributes of favor. And then in James, verse 12 of the first chapter, reads this way, Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Now, we know we're under trial right now. As a believer, we're not promised that temptations and trials won't come. But that we have what? We have favor with the blessing of the Lord to overcome them, such that by your favor, I know that I have favor because of the fact that my enemy can't conquer me. And then it concludes by saying, once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So I just want you to see that crown. That encircling, that favor to treat you as not only a priest, but as a what? As a king. So let's close by going to Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Now, Jesus is told, we're told in the Word that He is the Word, that He is the life. Thus, we can say He's our life. He was highly favored. He's in us. But Jesus has also been made wisdom unto us. So listen to Proverbs 8, verse 35, New King James. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, what is this chapter talking about? Who is me in this verse? It's wisdom. Who has been made wisdom unto you? It's our Jesus. So we could say, whoever finds Jesus finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. The Amplified answers that question for us. It says, whoever finds wisdom finds life. And then it says, and draws forth and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, that may raise a question. How do I draw forth? Well, just hang on and we'll talk about it, as I mentioned earlier. But I like the passion, and we'll conclude today's session with this. For the fountain of life pours into you every time that you find me. Let me just say that again. I like reading that. For the fountain of life pours into me every time that I find it, wisdom. And this is the secret of growing in the delight and in the favor of the Lord. That's you. The favor of the Lord, His favor, is upon you. And we'll just pick up here, and it gets as bad English again, gooder and gooder, or better and better, whichever is your choice. Bless you, and we'll see you again next week.